Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to How to Count Into a Podcast, starring Ralph Blandford, Steve Litchfield, David Gilson, myself, Hugh and Spence, and all of you out there who love all about Windows Phone or just read us so you have some frame bait to get you through the weekend. Yes, it's a weekly insight podcast looking back at all the news that's been happening in the world of Windows Phone, putting a little bit of magic that we have from the team and bringing our countless decades of mobile phone experience to bear on the Windows Phone ecosystem. I'm Ewan Spence. I'm going to carry on calling myself host. And as usual, we will go through. We originally called them co-hosts, but they've all keep asking for different names. So, guys, I'm going to ask you what you want to be called this week. And at the same time, I want you to tell me which of Santa's reindeer you'd like to be. David, you can go first. What would you like to be called this week?
I'm still the open source stuntman, seeing as I'm a regular Linux user who is currently living in Windows to get more of a Windows Phone experience, and it is a bumpy ride.
There we go. And which reindeer would you be?
Well, I'm going to be Rudolph, just for the nostalgia's sake.
Okay, or because that's the only one that you can remember. Steve has a slightly harder task of choosing another reindeer. Steve?
Well, I'm not going to be a reindeer because I can't fly, so I think I'd be disqualified and left back at base.
Okay, reindeers can't fly anyway, Steve. So Steve is the not-flying reindeer. We also have Ralph Blandford with us. Ralph?
This week I'll be the shepherd, keeping in charge of all the sheep on this podcast, Christmas theme after all. And reindeer, I think I'll go for Blitzen, because everyone knows that he's the evil reindeer from Robbie the Reindeer.
Ah, there we go. And I will keep myself as a host, and I will be Olive.
I thought you were more of a prancer.
No, I'm Olive, the other reindeer.
Right, okay.
Christmas cracker puns coming in there. Also played by Drew Barrymore in the lovely Christmas animation, which I'm sure will be on over the holidays. Right then, on with the news and the fun end games. I'm looking down what we've got to talk about. Some of this stuff is quite serious and weighty. Ralph, let's start with you on this one, the Nokia 800. The battery issues are still the same, but there seems to be more publicity about it this week than last week.
Yes, that's right, Ewan. There are some continuing issues. There isn't really anything new here, but we do have some updated information, so we just thought we'd revisit this topic. Just to clarify from before, there has been a software update. We talked about that last week, and that fixes some of the battery issues, but not all of them. There is a second update coming early in January, which will fix further updates. But there are some people who have still been having problems, and this is actually a limited number of people. And Nokia issued a sort of additional statement about this, following on from some comments in the sort of social media amphitheater, if you will. And that saying, yes, there is a software problem that's limiting the phone's ability to fully recharge the battery, and as I said, it only applies in some cases, and obviously if it's not fully recharging the battery, that will give you a pretty short battery life. The way to check if this is affecting you specifically is to go to the diagnostic application. In order to get the diagnostic application, you actually need to activate it by dialing #634# from the phone, and that will then sort of activate that application. Once you go into that application, go to battery status and have a look at what the battery charge is reading after a full charge. And anything less than 1,000 milliamp hours means that your phone is affected by this problem. It will be fixed by the software update, but Nokia are offering people a replacement phone if that's what they wish to have. They need to contact Nokia Care in their country for that to go ahead. So just to underline, that's not affecting everybody. You can check it for yourself. And the battery life issue will be fixed by the software update in January, and that will also obviously have some fixes aside from this one specific issue. So if you're not being affected, just wait for January, you'll get a software update and your battery life will improve. If you are, you might want to go through this particular check.
And David, you've got one of the other things, like the HTC radar. Is this diagnostic number, it's just for the Nokias, or it's a thing that's working for everybody?
It is just from Nokia's. I've just tested it on the HTC device here, and it doesn't do anything at all. So yes, that is just something that Nokia have built in.
It does depend on what phone you are on. This phone is actually across the platform, but it's activated in different ways. So HTC may have a different activation sequence, and I know it's pressed on the Samsung Omnia, for example.
Okay. Staying with the HTC, David, you managed to post up your review of the Radar this week. Now, I've been a great fan of the Trophy. Am I being too simplistic in saying that the Radar is V2 of the Trophy?
Well, I personally haven't looked at the Trophy, and I was, but I probably is, because I was thinking it was possibly V2 of the Mozart, but I'm not convinced of that definition. My overall take of the Radar is that I think of all the HTC phones I've had, it has got the best build quality. It really feels solid in my hand. It's nice and weighty, no creaking, no loose bits, no over-designed shapes on the back or anything. However, some down points about it is that it doesn't have a replaceable battery. That might be an issue for some, just as with the Lumia 800. It doesn't have a built-in compass, which is not a deal-breaker, but it's a little odd. And also, and possibly worst of all, is that I was surprised by how poor the camera was. I did some tests of it versus VNA, and I know when I was talking to Steve about the results, I mean, Steve could barely believe his eyes, but the colours seemed just very dull, unsaturated, and the fine detail is really smudged out, which I think is some sort of noise correction algorithm. So, but I think if the camera is not important to you, and you just want quick, rough mobile snaps, and you just want something that feels good in your hand, you like metal bodies, and you're not worried about replaceable batteries. And to be fair, it's a 1520 milliamp hour battery, which does give it fair battery life. You will definitely get through a day with sort of medium heavy use. It is a very nice phone, but I mean, the screen looks great as well, so I'd give it a qualified recommendation.
What I find puzzling, David, is that the Titan and the Radar were announced at the same time, released at the same time. You'd expect them to share quite a lot of the same components, as if they're built on the same hardware platform, same chipsets, same everything, really, apart from the overall form factor. The Titan had a stunkingly good camera, for example. Everyone's comments led me to believe the Radar had the same camera, and yet the results you were showing were very, very ordinary. So I just cannot explain that. I would like to play with the Radar at some point, so maybe I'll get that in from the PR company as well, because it's a bit of a mystery.
To me, the PR company are taking the Radar back from me in a couple of weeks, so I don't think I'll have time to send it to you, but I would like you to put your expert photographer hat on with it as well, because I was wondering if it was just the test photos that I'd done in the room that I was working in. However, I did take some test photos outside, and when you look at the fine detail, you can see that like smudgy algorithm effect on any flat surface in any of the photos, actually. So yeah, the camera is surprisingly poor, but otherwise it's a nice device. And also I mentioned that most devices that are below a 4-inch screen are 3.7 inch. This is 3.8 inch, and that really does make a difference to how you hold it. And actually I found myself kept inadvertently pressing the camera button with the base of my thumb, so I had to adapt to holding it in awkward positions. But now that I've gone back to, say, the Radar, and actually I will thank Nokia Connect PR, who have sent me a Lumia 800 this morning, going back to a 3.7-inch screen does actually feel quite small now.
So there we go. 1/10 of an inch makes all the difference when you're holding it. Right, Steve, the Radar is entering a pretty crowded market now. This sort of mid to low range of devices is coming up with the Nokia 710 as well. You've got the certainly in the States, you've got the Samsung Focus Flash that's sitting in there. I spotted the UK Network 3 are picking up the Nokia 710, and I have a question. They've priced the 800 so aggressively. Where can pricing go on the 710 in the UK? I mean, 24 months, free handset, £30 a month for the 800. What's the 710 going to be able to do?
Well, I'm looking on 3's website, and, you know, I've typed in 710, as in Lumia 710. It says one result found, and there's none of that is hyperlinked. If I then click on what looks like an ad of upcoming handsets, there it is under there. So it's obviously not available for sale yet. It just says register for updates. I cannot see a price. Which is rather...
Exactly, and that's my question. Is there any space? Because we know that the marketing budget has been very aggressive on the 800, and part of that will go to help bringing that sort of monthly price down. See, but people are going to be expecting the 710 to be cheaper.
Well, they will. In America, the 710 has been launched on T-Mobile, which admittedly is a bit of a niche carrier in the States, but it was like for $50 up front plus the usual contracts, which the Americans are saying, whoa, only $50, completely ignoring the usual subsidized rubbish considerations they are, on top of $1,000 over 2 years. I think $50 is rather neither here nor there. But it just set a bit of a benchmark. I would expect the 710 to be free on a £15 a month contract with limited number of usage, and definitely free on a £20 a month contract, which isn't too bad really compared to the prices for the Lumia 800.
Rafe, that kind of fit in with your thinking as well, price-wise?
Yeah, I think it will be the £20 mark at best, and it may well creep up a little bit from there. Looking at the Lumia 800, the cheapest you can get it for is really £25, but you know that's really being pushed, and I suspect there's a pretty big subsidy there, so I wouldn't be surprised to see the Lumia 710 kind of be at a lower, but not that much lower mark. The interesting thing here is it could potentially become the sort of choice of the pay-as-you-go Windows phone handset. But I think the interesting thing about the 800 and 710 in some ways is they are really aimed at different markets. And while I do expect to see some crossover, and we're certainly going to see that, and some markets do have both, I suspect what we might see is the 710 just being more popular in markets where there's perhaps more of an economic consideration, and that can just be depending on the way that subsidies work in a given market, or you know, in perhaps in some of the markets out in Asia where price sensitivity is probably stronger than Western Europe, the 710 might be the kind of the handset of choice. I mean, there's also the design and the colouring aspect, in that for some people the 710 will be more attractive simply because it's available in a greater variety of colours. And as we've remarked in last week's episode, there's actually quite a few reasons to like the 710, quite apart from the obvious cost difference. But with regard to the UK market, I would expect it to be kind of a high-cost pay-as-you-go handset. You know, obviously that's going to be towards the £250, £300 mark, or on sort of maybe a £20 contract.
And that sound you can hear in the background is hundreds and thousands of Android bloggers going, but we've beaten it on specs. What do you mean the only one is it in pink? We sympathise with you. Anyway, Android streaming ahead in the application. It's actually, from the look of the graphs that are coming out of Distimo, who are a third-party app tracking company, Android appears to have the greater velocity than any of the other platforms. Windows Phone is the next one, and it's now overtaken basically all the sort of B-level stuff. It's now comfortably in third place in terms of volume of the marketplace. And I know we go around the numbers again and again and say, you know, there is the numbers PR game, but you only really need 10 applications. But Rafe, it's actually quite important that Windows carry on this message of we are the third ecosystem. And this is another step in that sort of, I don't want to use the word brainwashing, indoctrination.
Yes, that's fair. I mean, it's really about the perception, and the perception is at the moment that Windows Phone doesn't have enough apps. I think raw numbers aren't the way to look at it. You know, you do need to look at the quality of the apps and how people are using them, that kind of thing. But it's actually very hard to measure that. And so, you know, the number of apps is used as a shortcut metric. And to be fair, most of the time, the quality of apps between them are quite similar, but probably you know, when it comes down to actual utility and functionality, it comes down to a few thousand apps and what their specific functionality differences are between platforms. But that's a very rational way of looking at it, and consumers don't behave that way. And so this sort of numeric comparison is going to remain in place. And I should say, for this Distimo report, it's actually based on the US market. So I'm not convinced that these trends actually necessarily play out globally. I mean, looking, for example, at their number for Ovi Store, or now Nokia Store, that's probably still just in third place, but it does rather depend on whether you count Symbian 3 separately to the other Symbian versions, and of course Series 40, and it does include things like themes, etc., and other components within the Nokia Store. And so probably in pure app numbers, yes, it's probably fair to say Windows Phone is ahead now, but I wouldn't say it's a dramatic difference. And you can actually say the same about all the other app stores as well. For something like BlackBerry App World, you know, there are things that are little more than themes or ringtones within that marketplace, and also you get the doubling up of trial applications, and that applies elsewhere, of course. And you get a certain amount of that in the Windows Phone marketplace, but because of the sort of better support for trial apps in Windows Phone in general, it's not so prevalent as is on iOS and Android. But yes, you're quite right to say Android and iOS, whether you look at iPhone or iPad, are kind of leaping ahead. I have to say, I've said it before, I think the important barrier psychologically is probably 100,000. Once you get to that point, it becomes less of an issue. But really, it's about platform size as a whole. It needs to get to the point where when a developer is looking to create a new application, they're saying, right, I need to get it onto this platform, and this platform in order to be successful. And of course, I think at the moment it's probably fair to say the first choice still tends to be iPhone. There are some people looking at Android, but Android has its sort of monetization issues, which we've talked about in the past. And so Windows Phone needs to sort of get to the point where it's at least on an equal playing field. And I think that probably just requires it to grow the number of people using the platform, you know, the installed base, so that, you know, developers can successfully make money from it. So that's the metric will be just as important as the number of apps overall.
Am I the only one who yawns when every time another report comes out saying X App Store has got another 50,000 or another 100,000? It's now up to 500,000 applications. And you just know that 99.99% of them are never going to be used or of no interest to anybody. I know there's a long tail effect, Ray. I know you're going to bring up that argument. But the thing that sells phones is not the number of applications, in the sense that whether it's 50,000, 80,000, 100,000, or a quarter of a million, or 500,000, because when you see a friend with a phone, like whether it's an iPhone or Android or simply on a Windows phone, you say, well, that's really nice, show me what it can do. Then you go out and put it on your wish list for the next phone. You never ever ask your friend, oh, how many apps is that? Oh, it's only 200,000. Android's got 400,000. Oh, well, I'll go and get an Android phone then. 200,000 applications? Are you crazy? When I did my Symbian curated app store, we can link in the show notes if people are really interested on the All About Symbian podcast, the curated apps, I found 100 really good applications, and they, to be perfectly honest, cover 99% of people's needs. That's with 100 really good quality apps. And that's all any platform needs. The biggest thing that sells phones is people recommending it to their friends, and that's showing them what it can do, and actually, you know, handling it, showing it off, not the physical numbers. They're just a big yawn from me, I'm afraid.
99.99% of applications in the Windows marketplace, Steve, would mean that you have only found 4.7 applications that are any good.
It is just possible that 99.9% of statistics are made up on the spot in podcasts like this one.
I think, Steve, I utterly, completely, emphatically agree with you. But I think the reason these stories keep going around is because of people who we call analysts, who are basically people who we should probably call estimators, who are just going around trying to get statistics to make best guesses because people want to know where to put their money in the stock market. And that's what this is all about, really.
I think you think you're all being slightly on the cynical side. I mean, I do take the point that you would make. The obvious argument against it is that the 10 apps that everybody needs, everyone has 10 different apps, and so that does increase the numbers somewhat. So I actually think it's significantly more than 100. But also, I think being sort of power users, we too tend to think in terms of apps that add real power and functionality to our phones, or productivity apps if we're going to give it a shorthand. And I've long maintained there's actually two different types of apps in the App Store. There are those which are applications as we traditionally think of them in the PC sense, that, you know, they actually do something useful, add significant functionality to the phone. And then there's the apps and games which, if you like, are more disposable, and they're almost the equivalent of, you know, renting a video or a DVD. They're kind of short form, often content that you'll use for a couple of weeks and then almost throw away. I mean, games is almost a category in itself of this, but I actually think it applies to apps as well. And there are quite literally, you know, thousands of possibilities here. And, you know, do you need these thousands? Yes, I think you do, because they're an expectation that people get with the phone. It's like the idea of having thousands of ringtones to choose from. Everyone only needs one or two at a time, but they may change them fairly regularly throughout the life cycle of a phone. So something that a healthy ecosystem needs is not only the couple of thousand productivity apps that I referred to earlier, but a steady flow of kind of disposable apps, many of which will be games that kind of update on a weekly basis so people can always find something fresh and new to use. So that's why, you know, I think this numbers still becomes somewhat important, but I would take a slightly less militant stance than the rest of the team here and say actually a continued flow of disposable applications is essential, plus a very healthy catalogue of productivity applications, to which I think Windows Phone is still building. We all know that there are some missing applications now. You can choose them, maybe Audible or Skype. I think everyone will have their own list there. And that's also a never-ending process because new services, new apps come out all the time. And that's the thing that needs to be fixed first, because I think it's the most important, but don't underestimate the importance of those disposable apps.
That's a quick point I want to pick up on there. I mean, you were saying about Games Riff in terms of disposable apps. I actually think, having looked through the Windows Phone Marketplace on almost a daily basis, games is actually the worst place for disposable apps. But there's very few new titles appearing in terms of what I'm seeing when I look in certain categories that I'm interested in. And a lot of the games are several pounds. It was like £3, £4, £5. And to me, that isn't a throwaway game. I mean, sort of the 79p to £1.50 is a throwaway game. And I'm not seeing a lot of those at the moment. So that is something that, I mean, if we are taking the number of applications in the store as a metric, I think this is something that reflects that comparatively lower number.
Yeah, I think, as I say, games are kind of a category on their own. So, I was talking in broad brushstrokes there. But I think for most people, you know, £2 or £3 on a game that they may play for 3 or 4 weeks and then they'll either finish it or get bored of it probably does count as disposable, as opposed to an app that will stay on their phone for the duration of that phone's life and that can get used maybe only once a week, but it will be used every week for a couple of years. And that might be a transport planning application or something else. And with that, I will say there are some games that do sort of qualify for the gold star status, if you like, that will get continued enjoyment and will, you know, stay on there forever. Actually, one of the successful ones here is something like Angry Birds with their level updates. But in one sense, those level updates are effectively new versions of the game, you know, new disposable stuff coming in. And so it's kind of a class apart. But yes, I mean, I agree with you. There are, in Windows Phone, there's actually quite a good catalogue of decent games. You know, Xbox Live has kind of ensured that. But there are perhaps not as many indie titles as there could be, and I think that's partly the stifling influence of Xbox Live, and partly, you know, it's a young platform, early days, and so the games developers haven't adopted it in quite the same way that they have, say, iPhone.
So there we go there. Let's move on quickly. One or two very brief ones. Speaking of Xbox Live, Mini Squadron is out this week. A 2D side-scrolling plane fighting game. We're having a look at that one over the festive period. And if you've got an Xbox 360, you'll have noticed that the UI has updated and is now running on a Metro UI as Microsoft slowly brings in pieces closer together. Now, festive period. Christmas is coming up. As we are all remembering, and of course the most important thing about Christmas is Father Christmas. After all, his name is in the title of the day. So that's right, isn't it, Steve? Yeah, it's Christmas, Father Christmas Day. Anyway. Yes, Rafe can answer the emails on that one. Right then, one present for the Windows ecosystem. What would you like Father Christmas to bring Windows for? Not specifically your own phone, but the whole Windows phone on the planet to help drive it forwards and upwards into 2012, or, if you like David, drive it into the ground. David, let's start with you. What present would you like to see down Redmond's chimney?
In the spirit of goodwill to all men, women and children, I would say a Linux client for Windows Phone 7 devices.
Oh, no. Father Christmas only does mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, Father Christmas doesn't do, like, Strike Cola, or he just does Coca-Cola. It's just the one big dominant brand.
Yeah, well, if we want mainstream, we'll have to have more users then, won't we?
Coca-Cola has many. No, seriously, though, David, the Linux client kind of brings up that point of that connectivity. But isn't the whole point of Windows Phone, though, that it's not phone to desktop or phone to client? It's phone to cloud to anywhere else.
Well, that's how it should be, but I think the fact that it's tied to the Zune desktop desktop application completely undermines that.
Ah, so there we go. Zune in the cloud. How about can we say Zune in the cloud? Would you be happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Zune in the cloud. There we go. There, Steve.
Yes, I would like a generic All About Christmas application with a definitive guide to what Christmas means, purely for you and Spencer. No. Well,
that would be AAC, and I think Apple have already got that file extension.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. What I would like is proper Bluetooth support. I'm fed up on iPhones in times past and now on Windows Phone. You, for example, you take a photograph and your friend sitting next to you on the sofa with, I don't know, a Nokia or an Android phone says, yes, can I have that photo, please? So you think, okay, well, I'll Bluetooth it to you. No, you can't Bluetooth objects and media around using Windows Phone. It's just blocked at the Windows Phone level, the OS level. That needs to be added in. You think, oh, well, I'll email it to you. You try doing that, and the stupid email system then downsamples it horribly just to make the file smaller, because we have got nice fast connections these days. So add Bluetooth, please, like a modern operating system, like Symbian, like Android. Join 2011, 2012 Windows Phone, please, please, please.
There we go. Speaking of joining 2012, my wish, I actually had two here. One of them is a silly one, which is I'd like Zune Pass to extend out to applications as well, maybe at £15 a month, and then everybody gets to share in the same way that Android have the Kindle Lending Library Fund that's going on. But international podcast support. I can understand why music is regionally locked down, but I cannot see why we don't have podcast support in every region in Zune and on the handset. It just seems crazy.
Hear, hear.
Rafe.
Well, I'm going to take a more developer standpoint and say I'd actually like to see in-app billing come in, because I think this would allow for sort of more content to come into applications that are already downloaded onto the phone. It's sort of been very successful elsewhere, and I think it's key to be able to make sure the platform can support developers in a financial manner. So allied to that, you'd sort of say support for SMS or billing onto your monthly phone bill is also a must-have for the marketplace. That's starting to come in, and indeed is available in some marketplaces on some operators. But part of the tie-up with Nokia was the promise it would see that available much more widely. I'm sure it will happen in 2012, so I think it's one present we are going to get. I'd just like to see it happen as fast as possible. And I think there's a long list of developer requirements, maybe some extra APIs or even the ability to do native code, particularly for game engines and things like that. But I think those two financially based ones are particularly important. But can I add some riders onto other people's Christmas presents? You mentioned podcast directory. I'd extend that to other local specific stuff. I'd like to see Bing Vision, for example, get its full feature set in all the European markets as a minimum, ideally worldwide. At the moment, you can scan barcodes in the US and do price comparisons and buy things online. At the moment in Europe, certainly in the UK, scanning barcodes won't work. You'll only be able to scan QR codes and the sort of Microsoft tagger codes as well. So I'd like to see that extended as well. And there's quite a lot of local specific functionality that isn't generically available. Obviously, there are reasons for that in terms of you have to set up the necessary back end, but I'd like to see that come in. But actually, to go back to what David said, I mean, actually, I do agree that improving the desktop phone experience would be a better, particularly for those coming from the Symbian world that are used to very independent devices. And so I think the idea of being able to use it without the necessity to plug it into a phone, into a PC ever, and that's things like software updates. And actually, that's really the big one, software updates for me, but also more users. I think David's absolutely right. Windows Phone needs more users in order to be competitive, because it needs a bigger install base for developers, for accessory manufacturers, for everything else. Really, ecosystems live and die on how big they are. And so, yes, absolutely. More users, please, Father Christmas.
Open floor. Anybody else have any more to know? Or are we happy with that quite short present list?
Oh, let's not be greedy.
Okay, fair enough. Then we'll be green. Happy Christmas, movie house. There we go. Well, we can't go without our traditional what app have we been using this week. Time is running out. The sleigh bells are starting to ring, and Noel Edmonds is getting ready to do his Christmas gift, not to Microsoft. So we should be very quickly round the houses here. What application have we been using or recommending this week? And as always, we'll have links to these back on the show notes. Steve, what have we got from you?
Well, I was tempted to just make some Kawasaki comment about, oh, apps of the week are getting so cliche, but it does actually make the point that there's really quite a lot of really good applications out there that are really useful in real life. So I will carry on with the tradition, you'll be glad to know. I would like to mention HandySave, which I've used on other platforms in the past, and which has the tremendous benefit now that whatever platform you started off on, you can actually sync this encrypted database of all your private stuff, pins, passwords and stuff. And yes, I know there are thousands of these apps, but this particular one not only syncs to your desktop PC, it also syncs to your Symbian phone, to your BlackBerry, to your Android phone, to your iPhone, to your Windows phone. Basically, everything syncs to everything else, and you can keep exactly the same database in perfect check, and you can keep multiple devices on the go. For someone like me, I find that incredibly useful.
Rafe.
I'm going to go with GeoDefense this week. This is an Xbox Live title I've been playing to while away a bit of downtime. It's kind of the tower game where you place towers around a track and kill things as they come along. But it's a nice implementation. It's got various achievements that you can get for your Xbox. And actually, compared to some games, they've actually been well thought out, and you actually have to play the game for a bit and concentrate to get them, particularly the harder to achieve ones. But as I say, it's a nice implementation. I got this, I think, because it was on sale last week. But yeah, thoroughly recommended for me for whiling away a little bit of time.
And with all Xbox Live titles and pretty much most of the main applications, you'll be able to download a trial version of that first and see if you like it before you put out the money. For me, I'm going to go one that might not have a huge amount of appeal. It's called Supreme Shortcuts. You have to sideload this in, so you need a developer-unlocked phone either through Microsoft or for Chevron. We've done a very quick flow on this inside. It allows you to put Live Tile onto your phone of any of the phone's internal functions. So I actually have added two Live Tiles. One of them is the battery saver. So I have a Live Tile, press that, I get taken straight to the battery saver because it doesn't actually have its own Live Tile. And also, when I'm traveling, I have one for Wi-Fi. So I can make sure that it's on or off and connected throughout network rather than have to go into the menu and the settings and so on. It's a free application. You will need to have your phone developer unlock though and sideload it yourself. It's not available in the marketplace, but if you're sort of techie and fiddly like that, you've probably already done that and can have a look for that one yourself. David, he likes to call himself Rudolph.
I am going with something called Parcel Tracker. Now, I kind of wish I'd suggested this last week given the time of year, but never mind. Parcel Tracker is, it sounds very boring. It's not fashionable like social networks. It's basically, you put your tracking code in for a multitude of different parcel services around the world, and you get like push notifications when there is an update to the status of the parcel. And each parcel can be added as a live tile to your start menu, and it will flip around and show you the last status and show you if there's something new that you don't know about. Now, This for me is the first time I've had like a real sort of light bulb emotional connection to the live tiles. I've always thought they were quite smart. I liked them. But with it being Christmas and I've got parcels coming to me and parcels going to other people, it's been wonderful just to have these, just to hear my phone do a little tinkle and look, oh yes, the parcel's moved on another step. I mean, I was tracking the Lumia 800 I've been sent for review. I was tracking that making its way to me up from London, and it was just a real emotional connection, just like being able to see the little colourful tiles on my screen just letting me know where my parcels are all around the world, because I've also been tracking parcels to Canada as well. And it's, yeah, so that gets my recommendation, and it's £1.20 in the marketplace.
There we go, which is probably how much it would cost you to go and get the box from wherever Amazon are using for their home delivery network now instead. So there we go, there's your four applications, there's your look at Christmas presents for the Microsoft Windows Phone ecosystem, all your latest news. Thank you to my open source stuntman David Gilson.
Thank you very much, Ewan, and Merry Christmas everyone, and just take this time of year, whether you celebrate Christmas or not, just to have a good rest and take care everyone, and we'll talk to you hopefully in the new year, if not before.
It's a big thank you to our I'm Not Flying Because I'm a Reindeer, Steve Litchfield.
Yes, goodbye from me. Happy Christmas. We'll catch you soon.
It's also goodbye to Blitzen the Shepherd.
Goodbye, everybody, and Merry Christmas. Any feedback, you know where to send it?
Yep, that would be, I don't know, where do they send the feedback, Rafe?
Rafe@allaboutwindowsphone.com or via Twitter @AA_WP or Facebook, facebook.com/... All About Windows Phone, and we're also on Google Plus as well, so check it all out.
Yeah, thank you all out there for listening to the show as well. Your continued support is much appreciated. Your comments are always welcome, both in public and in private, for the details that you can rewind for. And Steve, just to let you know one thing.
Yeah?
I do know the true meaning of December the 25th. It's the Doctor Who. It's the Doctor Who special.
I knew you knew that, really.
Yeah. Hurrah! Happy Doctor Who Day, everybody. We'll catch you at some point over the festive period. Ta-ra for now.